Welcome to the School of Faith, and this is part 8 of the series, the Foundations of Life series. I want you to know we're going to be putting some other lessons and series online soon in the School of Faith. We'll be considering contracts and covenants and some other topics, and I hope you'll be blessed by each and every one of them, and I thank you for your support and your prayers. This particular message is entitled Faith Towards God. Matthew 16, 18 and 19. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Peter's faith in Christ, that statement of revelation he gave that the Holy Spirit had given him, considering Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God, was that confidence that allowed him to begin to have that faith towards God that saw his life illuminated and saw the work and the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And even when he failed, God began to get him back in order because he was anchored in God through Christ. Accepting and receiving Jesus as Savior and Lord is the entrance into a divine covenant with the Godhead. It comes from a revelation of who he is, the God of the Bible, becoming personally accepted and recognized by the sinner. Then that decision produces a necessary response called repentance, which then plants within each believer that mustard seed of faith, that faith God builds upon and increases day after day as God nourishes us through fellowship with him and his people, then feeds us with his word and quenches the thirsting of our soul through the work of the Holy Spirit. This divine faith brings about a divine spiritual birth called the new birth. That birth is a process which continues through the waters of baptism and our faithful response to his word and covenant relationship ongoing with him. Salvation, as I mentioned in a previous lesson, is a process. We sometimes look at salvation as, hey, I believed in the Lord, I trusted in the Lord, I repented of my sins, that's it. But yet it's a process, and our obedience in following Christ has a lot to do with our eternal benefits. Initial steps necessary to receive the new birth experience. Realize, 1, that you are a sinner and there is a holy God. 2, realize sin has a penalty. 3, realize that God loves us and has already paid our sin penalty. 4, realize we receive salvation as a gift. 5, receive salvation now. There needs to be a response from us to the moving of the Holy Spirit that draws us near to Christ, that allows the application of the promises of his word, that the blood may be applied, the Spirit might be indwelt, the work of God would be done through us, and would be purged and furnished unto every good work. But it takes our obedience and confidence in him, faith towards God, that makes the difference. Our position has got to be upward in our faith, not looking around us, not looking behind us, but looking towards him who is the author and the finisher of our faith. He can keep us from the beginning to the end if we'll place our trust in him. Make that decision in response to the Spirit of God's leading, that decision of faith towards him. Let Jesus Christ have control of your life and make him Lord. That's what every minister, every preacher would like you to do. By relinquishing your lordship and allowing him to be the Lord of all. That way you will become justified by faith as God takes that first step of faith and builds upon that faith today and forever. This develops through our obedience, his words having its application through the waters of baptism, through the power of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues. That's the baptism. There's an infilling that takes place when we first come to know him. And our spirit man begins to develop from there, and then we can see the gifts of the Spirit, consider healing, etc., and other gifts, as well as other works of administration that the Lord would have to do in our life as we walk obediently in Christ, being a witness of Christ and his resurrection. Romans 10, 9-13. Because if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. There should be a confidence in our accepting and confessing Him that we know that things are going to work themselves out. We might not understand it all now. We might not all see it now. But as the blood is applied, as the Spirit ministers in life, as we put ourselves in a place of receiving the Word of God, as we go to church, as we allow the Word of God to come forth into our lives through reading, etc., whatever it might be, we will become what God desires. The Scripture says, no one who believes in Him will be put to shame. Verse 12, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all and is generous to all who call on Him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. God will keep you if you'll give Him a chance in His arms of love that are just not able to be separated from you if you keep your confidence in Him. Romans 5, 1 through 5. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace, in which we stand. We boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. Not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given unto us. We need to be full of the Spirit. We need to allow God to immerse our life. He will root away from us. He will just put aside from us the doubts, the fears, the wonderments, the difficulties of life. Allow us to be fixed upon Him so that we would not look upon those circumstances of life as determining our fate, but faith in Christ, whom we have obtained access to this grace. The Bible says to go boldly before His throne of grace. Why? Because we have confidence in Him. He's Abba Father. He is our Lord and Savior. And if we approach Him, He wants to grant unto us those things, all things that pertain to life and godliness. If we come unto Him and put our life and confidence in Him, we are acquitted or justified by faith. Legal term meaning acquittal, a declaration that someone is in the right. Christ, through His grace, has made us right before the Father. Sinners are in the wrong before God before they become believers. They have broken His laws. They deserve punishment. But on the cross, Christ took their place. Now, when they put their trust in Christ, they are declared to be in the right, acquitted, justified. The cross shows God to be just, not simply in the fact that He forgives, but in the way He forgives. To pass over sins would show mercy, but it would not show justice. Forgiveness, by the way, of the cross shows both. He doesn't just move over us, forgive us. He removes it from us and forgets about it, the Bible says. He loves us so very much. Jesus is our defense attorney before the heavenly throne. If you are a believer in Christ, no matter what accusation Satan might throw at you, Jesus can respond with, "Your honor, it's covered by the blood. They've repented, and I've applied my blood to the door of their hearts. I'm now their Lord and Savior, and even when they stumble, I'm there to get them back on track. I'll even carry them on my back like I did that old cross, just so that they might share with me the joys of so great salvation and eternal fellowship with me forever." Yes, Jesus wants to do that for you and me today. He wants to make a way for us, a way to the cross and a ladder to heaven. It doesn't matter what it is. Satan can throw any accusation he wants against you. If you're walking in Christ, loving the Lord, even when you stumble, if you be quick to repent, quick to honor the Lord, understand your place in Him, Jesus can say that before a heavenly Father. Say it before the angels of heaven. Honor, it's covered by the blood. Jesus is on your side. Because we have responded correctly to God, He justifies or acquits us of all done wrong. Not because we deserve to be, but because our Heavenly Father loves us and wishes none to perish, but all to have eternal life. Our godly sorrow and positive response to God's love gift at the cross has made us a new creation in Christ. All things have become new. He's taken sin far from us, taking it upon Himself so that we could have relationship with Him for eternity as part of His bride, the church. He took upon the sin that we might become His children. He loves us so very much. 2 Corinthians 5, 14 through 21. For the love of Christ urges us on, because we are convinced that one has died for all. Therefore, all have died, And he died for all so that those who might live no longer for themselves, but for him who died and was raised for them. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view, even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view. We know him no longer in that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old passed away. Seeing everything has become new. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors for Christ. Since God is making his appeal through us, we entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Through him we can become the righteousness of God. He doesn't just clean us up, he makes us a new creation. Those things that were in the past are in the past. He can give us a new mind in Christ. He can give us a new attitude. He can change our perspective on things. But we've got to give him a chance. And then he wants us to go about with that same spirit of ambassadorship and help people to receive that same reconciliation, that same power from on high, to be those who know the grace of God and have new life in Jesus Christ. Through faith, we become the righteousness of God. Through faith, one day, I became the righteousness of God. Not of my own filthiness, but by his grace. I'll never forget that when I became a believer, things that I was doing in the past, I shortly recognized that I wasn't doing them anymore. And it wasn't because of any effort of mine, but because of the Spirit of God that was indwelt within me. Something took place on the inside that began to work on the outside that helped me to express the godliness of Christ. And that's what the righteousness of God is all about. Because when we take in his righteousness, we take upon the character of God. Romans 10, verse 3. For being ignorant of the righteousness that comes from God, and seeking to establish their own, they have not submitted to God's righteousness. Sometimes we allow the old man to come back and we don't recognize the fact that that's not me talking. I need to allow the Lord Jesus Christ to take root afresh. And we allow some of the old man and some of the old attitudes to take place, and it hurts our witness. But if we'll submit to the righteousness of God, allow him to breathe through us, God can do such a great work. We need to take upon ourselves his righteousness, which he imputes to us through faith in him. His character within will give us the ability to make right decisions and bear witness of right motives and stay on the path of righteousness, which will not deviate to the left or the right. Instead, it will lead us through the valleys or over the mountains into the promises of God, not choosing the easy way out or the most circuitous route, rather listening to him, facing up to life's difficulties with confidence in him, acknowledging that he is Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. Part of God's very essence, living and breathing through our lives, is the only way we can put aside our selfishness and rely upon his indwelt righteousness. Righteousness is an attribute of moral purity belonging to God alone. John 17:25. It is he alone who is truly righteous. No one in the world is righteous in the eyes of the Lord. That is, except the Christian. We are counted righteous in the eyes of God when we receive Jesus by faith. Philippians 3:9. Our righteousness is based on what Jesus did on the cross. The righteousness that was Christ is counted to us. We then are seen as righteous in the eyes of God. Though we are actually worthy of damnation, we are made righteous, Isaiah 61:10. By Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, as a result, we'll spend eternity in the presence of the holy, pure, loving, kind, gentle, and righteous God. Our righteousness, Jesus. Righteousness is a precious commodity. Alexis de Tocqueville said, I sought for the greatness of the United States in her commodious harbors, her ample rivers, her fertile fields, and boundless forests, and it was not there. I sought for it in her rich mines, her vast world commerce, her public school system, and in her institutions of higher learning, and it was not there. I looked for it in her Democratic Congress, and her matchless Constitution, and it was not there. Not until I went into the churches of America and heard her pulpits flame with righteousness did I understand the secret of her genius and power. America is great because America is good. And America, if it ever ceases to be good, America will cease to be great. Hosea 10:12. Sow for yourselves righteousness. Reap steadfast love. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, that he may come and rain righteousness upon you. We need the Lord to rain righteousness upon us, as Hosea mentions in this passage of Scripture. It is the only way we can stay immersed in his presence and be filled with his righteousness. Otherwise, we can become like so many whom are tossed to and fro, having a form of godliness, but denying through their lives the Lord Jesus Christ. This world needs us to sow seeds of love and righteousness, whether in charity or kindness towards others, or any of the characteristics of the righteousness of God that shows his holy and perfect nature. If we don't, this world will become calloused by sin, not aware of his glory, as God's church doesn't allow the flame of the Holy Spirit to capture our hearts and minds. Lord, send us a revival again, full of power, full of passion for you. Let your love surround us, encompass us, and your witness be through us. Let us not be going forth acting righteous in a pompous attitude, but with mercy and grace and kindness, showing forth the love of Jesus, just as he did when he walked upon the earth. Too many of us go around with this pride-type thing and thinking we're something, but that's religiosity. We need to bend our knees before God, be kind towards others, and show forth the love and mercy of God to this generation, not in condemnation, but in grace. God bless you. Have a great day.